One day, Jesus was walking along the shore of Lake Gennesaret, and the crowds gathered around him to listen to the word of God. There were two boats pulled up on the shore that belonged to the fishermen who were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. And then Jesus sat in the boat and taught the people. When he'd finished teaching them, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." Simon said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Well, when they did, they caught such a catch of fish that the nets were beginning to break. And so they called their partners to come, and they filled both boats with fish so full that the boats were beginning to sink. When he saw this, Simon fell down at Jesus' feet and said, "Master, get away from me, because I'm a sinful man." Because he and his companions were astonished by the large catch of fish. So were their partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. But Jesus said, "Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch people." They pulled their boats up on the shore. They left everything behind and they followed him. Well, here is the call to follow. This is our challenge. What does it actually mean for us? Because each one of us will need to admit Jesus into our lives, into our fellowship, into our worship, into our work and our family life, into the life of our fellowship here. We can't separate our life out into compartments, the church bit and the rest. As long as Simon's boat is a floating pulpit, then the owner has got no objection to Jesus being in command. But as soon as it reverts to being a fishing boat, or a workshop, or a classroom, or a kitchen, or a conveyor belt, or a hospital, or a family home, or a church meeting, well then surely the fisherman, the mechanic, the operator, the teacher, the nurse, the housewife, the mother, the church leader, well, they are in charge, surely, because that's their job. We listen to Jesus' words. We ask for his help. We long for his healing and his power in our lives. But for Jesus to interfere in our job, or our organization, or our home, or our leisure, or our lifestyle choices, well, that's a bit different. But, I mean, that's not religion, is it? But Jesus, the carpenter turned preacher, tells Simon the fisherman how to fish. There's just the tiny hint of a thought here of teaching grandmothers to suck eggs. Yet this word of power and direction from Jesus shows that he actually does know more about Simon's job than Simon does. I suppose we must assume that Simon had been listening to Jesus' words and that those words had touched his heart, because common sense and reason and fisherman's logic and expertise would send Simon home to bed after a fruitless night's fishing. But at Jesus' word, he obeys. And there was such a great catch of fish, greater than any catch they'd ever taken before, and they worked together to fill the boats. And the sheer goodness of Jesus brings Simon to his knees, recognizing his own sinfulness and unworthiness in the face of such power and such generosity from God. But Jesus, full of compassion and mercy, offers love and peace and value and purpose for Simon's life. Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to fish for people. And they follow. And it's here, in this incident, that the word of Jesus comes home to us. It invades the privacy of our own workaday lives, instead of staying at a respectable distance, confined to the Sunday service, of course, where it belongs. We'll have to remember that Jesus knows more about the mission and ministry of the church than we do. It was on his heart before the creation of the world. And it invades the whole fabric and the whole structure of our church life, calling us to see that the church is not ours. In faith and trust, we give the organization, we give the fabric, we give the money, we give the business, we give the decisions, and we place it in his hands, his expertise, not ours. The fishermen obeyed Jesus. They followed him. They put out into the deep and they let down their nets and they brought in a catch greater than anything they'd ever seen before. They were tired, they were weary, they were probably annoyed and upset by the failure of their night's work. But in faith, they stepped out. Before they'd got nothing. Now their nets were full to overflowing. We say, don't we, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. You don't know how good it is until you eat it. Well, if we place the whole of our lives in Jesus' hands, he will transform them, he will enrich them, he will use them, and we will share his life of adventure and service. And that's certainly been my experience, life as an adventure in seeking to serve Christ. And it applies to the whole of the church and all of our organizations and all the plans that we make. Then, of course, there is the one who is called and how we respond. There's a risk in following Jesus. Jesus doesn't call us to be church attenders, to be sermon tasters and worshippers. He calls us to be disciples. The whole of our lives offered to him. Jesus calls us to cross lines, to step across the line. Like Simon, we're called to cross from our ownership to his lordship, to cross from the known, well, we've always done it this way, to the unknown of God's Spirit direction, to see our life outside of Sunday, directed by him. It's to cross from my will to his word, from the shallow, safe waters near the shore to the deep waters where the storms might blow up and the boat might get rocked about, from the safety of living our Christian life amongst church folk and amongst church activities to living out the gospel in the world, as I know many here do. To cross the line from my ideas to his vision. We'll need to come to Gethsemane and, like Jesus, pray, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Crossing the lines is not easy. Crossing the lines can be painful and costly. Costly in time, in money, in our very lives. And it'll be costly for the church as well, in our relationships with the community, in the way in which we open up and use the building, and the emphasis that we give to those on the outside within our church program. What are our priorities as servants of Jesus Christ in shaping the church, its services, and its organizations? Who are they actually for? I know that I'm speaking to the converted here in many of these issues. But if our aim is to reach the world with the gospel of Christ, would the non-churchgoer be welcome, feel at home, find answers to their needs and their questions within our congregation? Well, with a little fear and trepidation, I think the answer to that question is yes, here. I think there is a warmth and a welcome. But crossing the lines in Christ's mission will mean speaking out against injustice, wherever it's found and whatever government happens to be in power. Crossing the lines will mean challenging the way we do church and the ways in which we relate to each other. Crossing the lines will result in being unpopular, misunderstood, criticized, attacked, and ignored. But our call is to pull the boats up, leave everything behind, and to follow.